Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What a great prayer promise that God gives us through the prophet Jeremiah. And so when we look at that, the problem becomes, though, there are some people that, I'm very sad to say, have extreme difficulties in getting their prayers answered. And what will happen sometimes in receiving their prayers answered, they may hear a teaching, what I might call a subset teaching on prayer, and it'll all be good, but they just take that and they put it, encapsulate it into a small part of their life, and then they look at it, but there's more that they could see. And sometimes because you do things, I know this sometimes, growing up with AJ and different things he could do, he has natural ability to use tools and to do the things we do around the home, the hammers, the saws, the nails, and the different things like that. He has a natural ability to do that. But where he would have difficulty coming up through the years is what to do, or what are the specs on doing this, or, you know, those kind of things. And once he knew those, then the natural talent was there. Sometimes we are like that in the area of prayer. We don't have the foundation in prayer that when we take a little pinpoint teaching on prayer and try to put it into our life, and we don't see it doing anything because there's other things wrong in our life that's causing it not to work properly. And so you need a good solid substrate, a solid foundation in your life. And all these things, the word is in my heart for the last number of months now. It's just a total package. You need to have the total package going on. And when you do, and then you take a teaching on prayer or a teaching on giving or a teaching on relationships, all of that with the right foundation will bring forth bountifully in your life. And so with that in mind, I'm looking at what I'm calling the conditions of answered prayer, or you could say it like this, the foundations of answered prayer, what you have to have as a base as you begin to pray. I mean, this same base works with a lot of things, but it certainly works in the area of prayer. And so I picked up a few of those things that I saw in the scripture, and we began talking about them. The first thing that we talked about, and I'll just glance over it, the first thing we talked about was have a clean heart in your life with God. If you're going to pray, you're going to have a life that is honorable toward God, that you're giving Him in obedience to your life, and that you're, you know, living to honor and to please Him. You have to have a life, and the Bible says it like this in 1 John 3:21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." You won't have faith or confidence toward God as long as your heart is condemning you. Why is your heart condemning you? Because you've got sin in your life. And that's why he says that. He says, if our heart condemn us not, get rid of that condemnation. Remember, there's two kinds of condemnation, or there's that kind that the devil brings that he just wants to torment you day and night. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when in reality, really, you have missed the mark, you have sinned, you are living your life that's not pleasing to God, and you know you're not. It's that kind of conviction, really, that God brings against your heart and life through the power of the Holy Spirit that you need to learn, say, hey, I need to depart from this, ask forgiveness, and just let go of it, and just move past it in Jesus' name, and live my life to honor God instead of myself and mankind. And so that's the first thing. Get a clean heart with God. Get everything right in your heart, and that'll take care of so many things in your life. We looked at that. We saw that you, when you pray, that you know what the will of God is. You read the will book. You read the will that's been given. And you look in there and you find out what God's promised you, what he says is yours, and what you have a right to. And when you do, then pray according to the will of God. Don't pray against the will of God. Always pray in the will of God. That being said, so many people say, well, they're going to pray every prayer with "if it be thy will." Do not pray every prayer "if it be thy will." If you know the will of God, then you are offending God by still praying "if it be thy will." If God's told you what his will is and told you what he'll do, then for us to depart from that and say, well, Lord, if you will, once he's already said he would, then we're doubting the integrity of God. And so what is clearly spelled out in Scripture, we never pray, if it be thy will. If I come up against an issue in my life, a physical need in my life, I never say, Lord God, if it's your will, heal me. Not one single time would I ever pray that. Why? Because the Bible tells in Isaiah chapter 53, 2 Peter 2:24, he tells us that by his stripes we were healed. In the atonement of Christ Jesus, there is healing in the stripes that Jesus took upon his back. And they're for me. They're for everybody. And so I never again have to pray, Lord God, if it be your will, where healing is concerned. I know what Scripture says. And so I'm not going to offend God by praying, if it be thy will, in that area. On another issue of life, whether I do this or that, and the Bible doesn't clearly tell me which direction to go, then sure, I can pray if it be thy will, and you can too, and we all can. But make sure you make a definition between the two, or else you're going to have problems in your prayer life. The fourth thing we talked about is have faith that does not limit God. Don't come to God and give God a prescription on, God, you're going to do it this way and that way, and this is how it's going to happen, and I can't see it any other way, and you're just limiting what God can do in your life. And God can do so many good things in your life and great things in your life. Just let it keep on going. Let it happen and happen over and over again. If you start out with a place from God and you can only see this high, then you know what? When you reach that place of growth in your life, you'll see a lot more things out there. And you'll see a lot of other issues in your life that you can, apply the Word of God to and receive in your life. So don't limit God to what he can do in your life. Number five, I said pray and say in those certain terms what you want. Be definitive about it. Say exactly what you want. This is what you want. And put it out there. I mean, just word for God. Don't pray in all these generalities. Lord, I just need a blessing. Oh, Lord, well, you know what's best. Just bless me in any way, in all kind of ways, and just leave it at that. No, be definitive. The Bible tells us that. In the book of James, it tells us that we're not wavering one way or the other, that we're not double-minded. We are specific in what it is we are asking God for. And you can do that. I mean, if you need if you need healing in your body, then speak to your body. Speak to the organs of your body. Speak to the muscles, the nerves, the blood vessels, your mind, your brain, your arms, your legs, your eyes, your ears. Speak to them in Jesus' name and pray specifically what it is you need. If you need finances in your life, tell God, Lord, I need financial blessing. And then, you know, just sit down and say, well, what is it? What is my daily bread? I learned this many years ago. What is my daily bread? And sit down and write it down. Lord, I need this much money for me to live every day. If I'm going to stay on planet Earth, you know, I got to have a house to live in. I got to have some food on that table. Got to have some clothes to wear. Got to have a way to come and go. I got things to do. Then I got a wife. I got to see that she gets all those things. I got children. I got to see that they get all those things, and grandchildren, and got to see that they do. And so I have all these financial responsibilities, God. And so, Lord, I need this amount of money. And just lay it out there. Tell God what you need, whatever it is. I need this, Lord, and tell him. Don't be afraid to put an amount or a number out there. Whatever you need, say, Lord, I need $1,000 a week, or I need $2,000 a week, or $3,000, whatever it is you need. Don't be afraid. Just tell God, this is what I want. And pray for that. Believe God for that, and go on from that. So be specific when you pray. We looked at that. And we also saw that we ought to have the God kind of faith. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 11, verse 23, where Jesus said, have the faith of God. In the margin, it says, have the faith of God. And text actually says, have faith in God. Both apply. But we have the God kind of faith. And what is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith we find in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 17, when we find out that God is a God who calls things that be not as though they were. And so that is the essence of faith. If you can ever get past that little stumbling block that people have in their life, you're going to move into the arena of faith. And that's what we're going to be headed toward a little bit more today. And so we learned that. We also looked at praying with authority and commanding things to come to pass. Not just begging and pleading and crying and all upset. I know sometimes when you face life and life hits you and it hits you real hard, hey, it can bring some tears to you. It can break your heart. I understand that. And in life that you live on earth, sometimes those things come your way. But when we come to God, we don't have to come to God. We can come to him in our brokenness and ask for healing and just ask for his love and him sort of to shepherd us through this little bit and those kind of things. I have a very, very dear friend today, his first Sunday in church, not here, but without his wife after 50 some odd years of being there with her. And so it's a hard thing. It's a difficult thing. but God's with him, and God's healing is turned his way. So we know that, but when we come to God, we're not begging before God. We're not pleading before God like we're trying to get something out of him or talking out of him. No, we have the God kind of faith. We call things that be not as though they were. Thank you, Lord God. I have happiness. I have joy. I have peace. I have long life. I have all these things, God. And we call those things that be not as though they were. That's how God does it. That's what he does. Remember, oh, there it is. Yeah, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us there that when the Lord created the heavens and earth, that there was darkness upon the face of the earth. And then you go right down, I think you're right along at verse 3, where he says, light be. Now, light be is a definitive statement, light be. He said it while it was dark, because darkness covered the face of the earth. And then he says, light be. He didn't say, it is dark. He said, light be. Some of us need to begin to talk in that kind of language in our faith and our prayer life. So we don't look and just rehearse our lacks and rehearse what we don't have, but begin speaking into our life what God says that we do have. And we do it with authority. We command things to happen in life like Christ told us we could do. Okay, so then, now let's go. In fact, we looked at one other thing. Let me cover the last thing. We looked at a little bit just last week from Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so God rewards us when we seek him, but we must have faith. We must, the person that comes to God must. Ain't no way around it. You can argue with it. You can get mad at it. You can say it's not fair. You know, anything you want to do. But the word still remains the same. He that cometh to God must believe. And so if you want to get your prayers answered, then you must believe. And if you haven't believed yet, then you don't have any grounds to come to God and complain because you haven't received something in your life yet if you haven't believed. And if you have believed, you're going to see the results of that believing in your life. Because the Bible says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. As you diligently put yourself before God, he will reward you. I've shared, you know, my testimony before on different things, but it sort of applies to that. When you're praying and you're believing and you're asking God to do something. I was in my study, and this was back right about 1984, I guess it was. I was in my upstairs study praying, and I didn't go out of my front door. I didn't go anywhere. I was right there in my study praying, and I was praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And so I was praying, Lord God, I need you to increase me financially. I need you to do something for us at our church, the first church we were at. And we're believing God to build a church. We don't have the money. And so I'm believing God for some money to come in for that church. And I was also believing God at the same time for jobs to come into our area, come into our community, believing God for both of those things. And so I'm praying, and thank you, Lord, you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, my daily bread is supplied. While I'm praying upstairs in my study, somebody comes onto my property and knocks on the front door, and the end result of that, before they leave, they gave me $25,000. I didn't go outside. I didn't do anything. I don't know anything that brought that about other than praying and seeking God for something. And so, you know what? If you be humble before God and you put his word first place in your life and you believe that whatever you ask is given, you'll see it come in your life. And that's been many, many years ago, and many, many more, $25,000 have come since that time for sure, many, many, many more. And so if we'll believe God and trust in him, he will do things for us. But you got to believe, and you got to be diligent in that prayer life. You got to stay before God. Not that you're begging or complaining or just fighting or struggling with the horns of the altar of God. Not any of that. No, you're standing on his word, the authority of his word, praying in your divine right in the name of Jesus Christ. Your words are going into the portals of glory before the throne room of Almighty God, and he is answering according to his word as you and I believe on it. How many believes that? Say amen. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it works. And so, all right. Let me sort of move a little bit of a different direction. Look with me in Hebrews 11:1. There is this elusive thing, and we mention it a lot, but sometimes we don't really understand it quite like we should. This elusive thing called faith. Faith. Everybody say faith. So many people come to faith with the wrong kind of ideas in their life. They look at faith through the lens of the flesh. And you will not see faith in the lens of the flesh in your life. And many people don't have faith. They look at the Word of God, and they'll hear that the Lord says, for example, that financial thing in the book of Philippians chapter 4, when he tells us he'll supply all of our need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You would ask yourself, do you believe that? You say, well, sure, I believe it. Sure, I believe it. Well, is God supplying all your needs? Well, not yet. Well, what you have done in that, you have a mental assent to it. You mentally believe it's true, but it's not true for you. In other words, you mentally think it's the Word of God, and you would say yes all day long that it is what God says, but yet you do not experience it in your own life. And there is the dividing line between mental assent and what faith is. Because faith brings forth tremendous results in your life. What is real faith? Let me read it to you in several translations that I gave you. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, notice the first word, now. If it ain't now, it ain't faith. If it ain't now, what you probably got is hope. You hope God will do it. You hope this passage of Scripture will become a reality in your life. You hope the promises of God will be fulfilled. You're doing your best, so to speak, in your flesh understanding. You're doing your best to receive from God, and you just hope one day it'll happen for you. If faith is not now, it ain't faith. I'm using a play on words. I understand. Okay. Faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. It's probably hope what you got. Hope's good. Hope's a building block of faith. But you haven't got there yet as long as you're still hoping. As long as you're still hoping, you have not got into the arena of faith. And until you get into the arena of faith, you won't see your prayers answered. Just what Scripture tells us. All right. Look in Hebrews 11:1 again. Now, faith is the substance. In other words, faith becomes substance. It's like something you can touch, something that's real. Foundation is there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Remember, hope is there, but you've moved on from hope. You've moved from hope to believing. Hope says, I have it one day. Faith says, it's mine, I have it now. Some people say, well, I'm not saying that. I get it. You're probably never going to get it. Because you have to believe to see. You must believe to see. So notice it. Faith is substance. It's reality of things that you hope to obtain or have. And for the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is something that you lay before a court. And hopefully it would prove a fact. Whatever you're saying, the truth is, someone would give testimony, and they would bring forth evidence. Someone shot so-and-so, and they bring in the gun and the bullet and the autopsy report. Here's the evidence that they did it, and their fingerprints are right on the gun. And, you know, you prove your case. Evidence proves it to you, and you have to walk away. You say, well, I'm sorry for anyone to have to go to jail, but this life has been taken, and according to the laws of the land, we must pronounce him guilty, because why? I've seen the evidence. Evidence proves it to you. When you have faith in your heart and life, you don't have to ask somebody else, you think God would do this for me? No, you know it. You know it. You know God would do it for you. You have a guarantee in your heart and spirit. You've got evidence on the inside. What is that evidence? It's faith. It's a knowing, an inner knowing. It's a know that you know that you know that you know. In other words, you can't talk me out of it. I know it. I know, I know, I know, I know. It's an inner knowing inside of the heart of mankind. I gave this a definition, which I've used for many years, and let me share it with you. Faith is an inner knowing. You're knowing in the inner man, which convinces the spirit of man of the things you cannot see. I'm convinced of what I cannot see. It does not depend on the aid of the five senses. Faith does not depend on what I see. Faith does not depend on what I hear, or what I smell, or what I taste, or what I touch. Faith has nothing to do with the five senses. But again and again, you'll hear Christians say things like this. Well, I just feel like God's going to do it for me. It has nothing to do with your feel likes. It has nothing to do with your feel likes. It's not a thing that's in the feeling. It's in the realm of the spirit. It's an inner knowing. You're convinced. Ain't nobody can talk you out of it. You're convinced in the inner man of it. It's an inner knowing. And notice, it doesn't depend on the eight of the five senses, and it leaves no options of thought. You don't have another option. You don't even think of another option. But you don't need it because you know that what it is going to happen or work for you. Why have an option when you know it's going to work? No options of thought, concern, or another course of action which would be contrary to the Word of God, which produced the faith in the first place. In other words, God brings faith into our life through the supernatural power of the Word of God. And on the inside, we just know. We just know. Somebody say, well, I don't see it. I could say, well, I don't either. But it has nothing to do with what you see or what I see. Somebody says, well, I can't understand that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. I can't understand either. But I know. I have an inner knowledge. I have an inner knowing from the Father God. I have faith that what God has said, He will do, and He has done it for me right now. It's mine. I have it now. That's the basis of a real prayer life that gets results in your life. It was in September of 1982 that when I was fasting for a three-day fast, and on a Saturday morning, God dropped in my heart. He had done it before then, and I was praying about it, making sure everything was right, and it was just like where it's supposed to be. But I went out behind my home and went out into the wooded area back there that I used to didn't own, but I own now. But anyway, I went back there, and I was walking around and praying back there, and God dropped into my heart. And from that time, when the Lord told me to found the church, that I did, and we did, here on October the 12th, 1982, Tuesday night, when we did that, from that time until right now, I've never, ever had a doubt on whether I was supposed to do what I did or not. Never had a doubt. I knew. I had people try to talk me out of it. And in the church that I was in, they tried to talk me out of it. They offered me three other churches to pastor. They said, won't you come down here and pastor these three? You can have anyone you want. I said, no, I don't want to do that. The state overseer called me and said, I want to have a meeting with you. I said, okay, come up. He said, look, we'd love to do this. I said, look, I love every one of you. I'm not against anyone. But I just has to do what the Lord has told me to do. And thank God. He said, well, you know, it's going to be hard out there. I had other churches come against me and said, you know, you're going to go bankrupt first day. You'll never make it. Never happen. Ain't nobody going to come. Ain't nobody going to support it. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to, you know, it's just going to happen in your life and in your church. They all said that. But it didn't bother me. It wasn't something I said, well, Sheila, you reckon something's not going to happen? We never had that discussion. We never. It was a no-so thing. God had said, God had spoken, His word was a revelation unto me in my heart, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew, and then I just embarked on the task and began doing the things God told me to do, little by little, here by there, and things, you know, what, just continued that way. So never a doubt, never belief in there. Faith, you have faith. You don't wait to ask somebody else and call somebody else and say, you think I ought to do this? Would you pray for me? You know, it's okay if you do that, but real faith on the inner man, why would you do that when you already got it in the first place? I mean, you know, that's how knowable it is in your life. You know, you're convinced of it. Somebody say, you're just crazy. Some people think that, but I'm convinced. I am convinced of it in Jesus' name. We are convinced. That's what faith is. And so, wow. Let me give you another thing, and we'll talk about getting that kind of faith. But anyway, listen to this. Moffat says this. Now, faith means we're confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Everybody say, I'm convinced. Say, I'm convinced the Word of God is absolutely true in every case and in my case. It's for me. And the Amplified Bible says it like this. Now, faith is assurance. It's the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for. It's a title deed. The title proves that you own it. It proves, I mean, we have three titles. We got, you know, a more recent car, 2017. We got the title of that, and an old truck I drive around, 2005, and then another old car, 1971. We got about three vehicles, but I got title deeds on all of them. And if someone stole one of those or whatever, and I got GPS on one of them, but if they stole it and got it and they said, well, how come you know that it's your car? I said, because I got the title deed. This proves it's mine. I have title to it. Faith is your title to the blessings of God. Faith is your title to the promise of God. On the inside, that's what it proves I have it. Now, you don't see the vehicles I just mentioned, but they are out here, but you don't see them. But I could produce a title and you still wouldn't see them. But the title would prove they are mine. It's the same way in the things that we honor God with in receiving his promises concerning faith. Listen to this. It is a confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. Not Leon guaranteed, not church guaranteed, not this guaranteed. Divinely. God Almighty is behind it. He gives the guarantee. And it's the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. You don't see them now reality, but I'm convinced they exist. And faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Boy, that just sums it up. Amplified Bible. That sums it up for sure. English Standard Bible says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for. New American Standard says, now faith is a certainty of things hoped for. Contemporary English Version says, faith makes us sure of what we hope for. God's Word Translation said, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. International Standard Version says, now faith is the assurance that what we have for will come about, and certainly that we will cannot see exist will exist in our life. The Weymouth Translation says, now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. In other words, when you read all of these different translations, there's many more, of course, when you read them all, what you realize is this, is faith is something that it assures you, it comforts you, lifts you up. Yes, but it's a no-so on the inside. I know it's mine. I know that it is. I'm convinced of it. I have the assurance of it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. When you got that kind of faith in your life and you come up against obstacles, you don't question God or yourself. You question the obstacles that come up against you. I mean, when things come up in your life and you'll face them various times in your life, you might go to the doctor and get a bad report and you say, well, what am I going to do? And you begin to change your life to conform to the bad report. Not what we do. Right in our house, what we do, we look at our lives and we see the bad report, and we look at our lives and we go to the good report, the Word of God, and sees what that says, and then we begin applying the Word of God in our life and against that report. And in Jesus' name, thank you for good doctors, good medicine, good tests, everything they offer. Thank God for all of it. But Lord God, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the great Lord God Almighty. And no matter what the report is, whose report am I going to believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. And it says, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm whole. And so body, in the name of Jesus, you just have to be healed in the name of the Lord. That's what we do. That's what we do. And we found it extremely effective in our lives. Extremely effective. But you got to be convinced on the inside. If you say, y'all would have prayed for me, I'm about to die. Well, why would you say that? If you had faith, you wouldn't be saying you're about to die if you had faith. Not for healing, in other words. I mean, you know, faith in Christ, of course. But and, you know, you'll have him here or there, wherever you go. That's what we're talking about, faith for healing. Why would you say, I got a bad report? They're saying, I'm about to die. Are you about to die? Yeah, that's what they say, I'm about to die. Well, quit saying that. Well, we all die one day. If Jesus don't come back, and he might come back today before I get preaching at 4:30, amen? He might come back at any time. He can come back at any time, and we welcome him. But other than that, we'll all die one day. But I don't have to die with sickness and disease. I don't have to die out of my mind. I don't have to die with all these problems and things that come against us. I know plenty of people. I know numbers of people. All they did, they just sit down and breathe, and we're last, and that was it. My dear friend Bernard Morris from Chester, South Carolina, went on a Sunday afternoon, went out of his house after he'd eaten dinner. He got a real nice house. And he went out of his house, and he was just walking around out there. Just, I don't know, you ever done that? Just sort of walk through the ground or that kind of thing out there and down, see that dirt and that ground, that grass, and just sort of, I don't know, just sort of looking around. That's what he was doing, just that. Nothing special, wasn't going anywhere, just sort of walking a little bit outside and enjoying his life, and bam, fell to the ground dead. That's a good way to go. If I'm going to go, that's one of the best ways to go. It really is. And you just clock out, and the Lord said, come on, Bernard, I got something for you, but come on. And he just left and went on. And so thank God for that. But he didn't, you know, die like some folks do sometimes in terrible circumstances, situations, and those kind of things. And we pray for all those that do die that way. But there's a better way. So let's live the better way. How about that? Somebody say amen. Let's live the better way. Okay. All right. Now, look with me. When we talk about what faith is, let's look, what can I do? Let me give you this. There's two people that if you really want to get into this understanding of what faith is, because faith is beyond your senses. Whenever faith is I feel like, or faith is it looks like to me, and you say, well, how do people pray those kind of prayers? Well, they'll do that because of this. Let's say this. Somebody's wanting a promotion at work, and they ask you to pray for their promotion at work. Fine, that's wonderful. And what they will say is things like this. I'm believing for this promotion because, number one, I am qualified. And number two, they are promoting at this time. And number three, I am one of three people that are in line for the promotion. Well, based on all that, I believe I got a good chance. Well, what have they done? They based their prayer on, I'm qualified, I'm one of three, and I'm in line for the promotion. They're looking at existing circumstances around them. I don't say those circumstances don't exist. They sometimes do. But that's where they have their faith. And we should not have our faith in sense evidence. Things that we can see, taste, touch, smell, all this kind of stuff. We don't have our faith there. We have our faith in Almighty God. What we read to you earlier was Mark 11:22, where Jesus said, have faith in God. Not in what you can see, not in what you can hear, not a taste or touch or smell, not in the sense world. That's not where my faith is. If you live your life that way, you'll live your life like the rest of the world does. Because that's how they do it. They live their life based on what they can see, what they can touch, what they can taste, what they can feel. You know, if it's out there, you know, that's how they're living their life. And that is a normal, carnal, fleshly life. Now, sometimes we live our lives that way, and we should. If you go out here and you're going to leave church after church today, we're going to get out at 4:30, and you come out here and you start to go across the thing, you better look, see what's coming both ways. Right? You'd be using your eyes to do that, wouldn't you? So in this natural world, there are some things there. But there is a higher law in the arena of prayer where we're not moved by those kind of things, which we see, hear, taste, touch, feel, all those kind of things. And so there's really several writers out there that talk about that. One of the best on planet Earth that you'll just have to, you know, look at is a fellow by the name of E.W. Kenyon, who died in 1948. And E.W. Kenyon was a man of God, and he taught this thing like very few other people do. And he always would contrast it by saying the two kinds of faith. And the two kinds of faith are the faith of God and the faith like the rest of the world uses. And they call it faith. And the faith that the rest of the world uses is always based on sense knowledge. But the faith that God gives us is not based on sense knowledge, but revelation knowledge, or from the knowledge of the Word of God. And that's the Bible kind of faith that produces results in your life. And so if you're really wanting to build faith in your life, man, there's nothing will inspire you and lift you up and encourage you and make you want to get up and go like an E.W. Kenyon book. They are wonderful. We love the ministry of E.W. Kenyon. Several years ago, when the family retired and hung it up after all these years, him dying in 48 until about 3 years ago, and they died and hung up everything. They were best friends. I don't know how, but Sheila became really like best friends with the family, and they just loved her and that kind of stuff. I don't know. Sheila's got this way about her on the phone. Everybody loves her. I don't know. I get on the phone, they chew me out. But on her, they just love her. And anyway, when they were selling out, they sold her all of their inventory, everything they had left, at 70% off. Oh, and she come to me and she said, how much should we buy? I said, every dime of it. Buy it all. And so she invested thousands of dollars there to do that. But even to this day, they still have people calling them, and she'll refer them, not to other publishers or people, but she refers them to Sheila. And so that has dividends paying off. But it's the minister they had. She loved so much, and I had loved so much many years ago when I first come into line with his materials. But get you something to feed your faith. Get you something that you can read and instill and go in. If you're having a problem with these issues, get you something. Don't just stay right where you're at. Get you something and read it and believe it and digest it and read it again and again and again and again and again. All right. Another writer, which is a good one. Listen to this. Here's where we're talking about faith. And this one comes from a quote from Finest Dake. And Finest Dake used some of the materials of Kenyon, and right here is evidence of that. He said this. He said, faith has no relationship with feelings or evidence of the senses. No relationship. Faith don't even live in the same house with the senses. You could put it that way. There's no relationship. I don't have to look, see if I can do it or if I have it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. No, it has no relationship. He said this, we should not believe we are healed just because the pain is gone. Somebody said, I prayed and the pain left. Well, I'm healed. What you base it on? Well, the pain left. So, you know, if you're basing your healing on the pain left, then when the pain returns, I guess you'll lose your healing, won't you? Because if you got your healing when it left, then you're going to lose your healing when it comes back, if it does. And so he says, faith shouldn't be because the pain is gone, nor should we believe that we're saved just because we feel forgiven. We don't say the Lord saved us, and we say the Lord saved us because we believed on Christ and what he has done in our lives, and he has forgiven us of all our sin and washed us in his blood and made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm saved, because what Christ has done. Doesn't matter how I feel or how you feel. How many has ever woke up when you first got saved and you felt saved? I have. Somebody say amen. How many a few days later, a few weeks later, you woke up and you didn't feel saved? I've done that too. You don't go by your feelings. Has nothing to do with your feelings, he said. We should not think that our prayers are answered because things are working out that way. Well, it looks like everything's working out. Got to be careful with that. Sometimes the devil will work out things for you to go the wrong direction, you know, just to get you headed the wrong way. So it doesn't matter working out or not. Who cares? What matters is what God has said. You're standing on what God has said. And so instead, we should always maintain that our prayers are answered because the Word of God says they are. The Word of God should have first place in our lives instead of our senses, basing our faith on what we have done, how well we have lived, or what experiences we have lead to failure in prayer. If you got to come to God based on how good you are or how good I am, the good things we've done, you've had it. You don't have a prayer life if it's based on you. God does not answer upon these grounds. He answers solely upon the grounds of grace and his personal faith in him and in his word. Somebody say amen. That's where he answers. That's how he answers us. All right. So let's move a little bit. Look at Mark 11:24. I talked a little bit last week about this understanding of praying and believing in faith for an answer. Let me take you to another level. How many wants to go to another level? Somebody say amen. Very easy, but I'm going to show you a number of scriptures that points it out. Don't believe that you'll get it. Believe that you got it. Don't believe that you will get it. Believe that you have it now. You have it now. Look what the scripture says. Mark 11:24. Therefore, in other words, based on Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Based on that principle, therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, everybody say, Jesus said. See, when you realize that too, and you got a revelation, this, my, don't take a whole lot of revelation, does it? Jesus is the one saying he said it. And I had people criticizing me years and years and years ago. And they would criticize me, you're just too much into this faith business. Too much into this faith. That's your problem, Leon. I said, well, how much is enough? And how much is too much? You know what? I just want all the faith I can get. How about you? I do. Won't they say that about being happy? Well, some did. Said you smile too much. I said, well, what's wrong with smiling? What's wrong with smiling? Well, you got to smile all the time because I'm happy all the time. Very easy. It's not hard. It's not hard. All this kind of stuff. Anyway, therefore, I said, this is what Jesus said. So when the doubters and the skeptics try to talk you down and talk you out of it, say, look, it's what Jesus said. Ain't got nothing to do with me. It's what Jesus said. What things soever you desire, whatever you desire. Oh, Lord. Bless his heart. His preacher just loved God. I heard him say this just recently. And he said, God didn't tell you he'd give you all you want or desire. He said your needs. Oh, Lord. And he did say he supplied all our needs according to riches and glory in the book of Philippians. I quote that often. But he also said in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. That's the word too. And I found out God will give you your desires. In other words, that's something you don't need. You just say, hey, I'd like to have it. I don't need it. But I'd like to have it. I mean, does anybody think earthly parents are like that? I mean, if Miss Naomi and Mr. Samuel comes up to Sheila and I, and Naomi comes up to me, and she says, Pa! And I say, yeah, what is it? She says, oh, cookie. I don't say, do you need one? Now, if AJ's anywhere around, or Laura's anywhere around, they'll say, you don't need one because you just got through eating. But grandpas don't think that way, do they? No, no, no. We're not going there. I said, do you want one? Yeah, Pa. Let's get one. And usually when I hand her cookies, oh, I'm divulging a secret. Oh, Lord. They're going to bar Naomi from ever coming to our house again. When I reach and get cookies, I always reach and get a stack about this high. About that high, and I hand them to her. She parked here, but what? And she gets one and gives me one, and I have to put the rest of the stack back. But why do we think that God would be different, so to speak, than that? And I'm just playing a game there. But how many think God can be different? And we ask God for something. God said, well, do you need it? Well, God, I just need another car. This and I got it. Smoking everywhere it goes, and $40 a gallon worth of gasoline. Take me $80 just to get to Greenville on the gas. And Lord, and tire's about worn out. I need enough. I don't know. Looks like to me it might last another week. You just keep what you got. Is that the way God is? No. Some people think he is. You say, well, okay. And you build your level of faith. Well, God, I believe I can have me a new car. Lord say, good. It'd make me happy to give you one. Bible says in the book of Luke that is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it'd make him happy to give me one. Not only that, I want a nice new car. It'd make him even happier to do that. And he'd give you that. So don't limit God. When I talk about don't limit God, don't limit God. But notice the Lord's one said, what things soever you desire. Everybody say desire. Desire. Does that say need? I mean, it don't. Jesus said it. What things soever you desire. What you just want. I don't have to have it. I just want it. I want it. What things soever you desire, when you pray. Now, the rest of these things that take place in the sentence are all when you pray. Everybody say, when you pray. When you pray, believe. When you do your believing? When you see it? When you do your believing? You do it when you're praying, right? When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that, believe what? That you receive them and you shall have them. Believe, in other words, if I'm praying, wait a minute, Lord, if I'm praying and I ask you for something, I have to believe then that I receive it. And if I believe then that I receive it, that I already will have it, I shall have them. Is that what you're saying? That's what he's saying. So I got to believe that I receive it and I have it when I can't see it. And it's not in my hands and it's not in my life, but yet I'm supposed to believe I got it. Yes. Right there. When you pray, not when you get it, when you pray. Believe that you'll have them and you'll have them. Then, right when you pray. And so when you're praying, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, Lord, that you heal my body in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm healed. I'm whole. No sickness, no disease, no pain in my body in Jesus' name. It's mine. I have it now in Jesus' name. That's how you pray. Somebody said, well, what if you still had some pain after that? Don't matter. Got nothing to do with it. I'm standing on the word of Almighty God. The pain will just have to manifest itself in healing and go away. It's happened again and again and again. That's what you have to do in your life. It's not hard just to do it his way. When you pray, believe you receive them. Now then, we're reading here in the King James Translation. But if you look it up and you just tap on it, as I can do, and some of you can as well, and tap on the Greek there for you receive them, tap on, and what it says in the Greek. This is the Greek interlinear that Mark 11:24 says this. Believe that you receive them is translated from the Greek, which says you received with a D, E-D on it. You received it. It's past tense. When you pray, believe that you received it. That's believing you already got it. Believe that you received it. The God's Word translation does it like this. That's why I tell you, to have faith that you have already received whatsoever you pray for, and it'll be yours. Already got it in Jesus' name. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. Somebody say, I got it. I got it in Jesus' name, I got it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it in Jesus' name. Well, I don't say you got it. Doesn't matter. I got it, I got it, I got it. Bible says, I believe I receive when I pray. when I pray. I'm not waiting. If I'm waiting now, it went off into the land of hope. Well, I prayed about it, and maybe one day it'll happen. Hopefully one day it'll be there. No, 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 no. It's mine. I have it now. It's mine. I have it now. That's what I said, got mine years ago, and Sheila and I would get our checkbook out and pray over it, and I look at that thing, and it looks so miserable, and it looks so red. You know, I've always been an accountant, so I did my check, but it went in red. I put it in red. And it looked so red, and no money there, nothing. And I sit there and say, I see thousands of dollars. I see thousands of dollars. Looking down all the time, yeah, I say, no, you don't. You don't see thousands of dollars. You see red. No, I don't, eyes. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me that there's wealth and riches in the house of the righteous. And the Bible tells me that He had made me to be the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there are wealth and riches in my house. And so I see thousands and thousands and thousands. And that's what you do. You say, even when I'm seeing that, that's right. That's right. And I believe that I receive, I have it now. I believe that. That's what you have to do. And so you got to believe that it's already granted unto you. Somebody said, now, Pastor, you done went wild now. You done went crazy now. Well, okay, but you know what? It's paying off. It's resourceful. It works the way the Lord says it does. It does. You got to believe that you already have it. It's a done deal. You just know it's going to happen. If someone invited you to lunch today and said, hey, I want you to meet me somewhere to, I don't know, somewhere around town to eat some lunch and maybe a cheek stop and stop shop and watch meal, and they're going to take you out for some hot dogs or something like that, and they invited you out and said, hey, man, I have to go out and have a good meal. I'm on my way. I'm going, where are you going? I'm going to eat. Hey, you know you're going to eat. They got to be there to buy you them hot dogs for you to eat. You ain't even there yet. Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat. And he told me to bring all my whole family with me. Come on, we all going to eat. Let's go. And you talk just like that. Is it? We don't have any money, go eat. It don't matter. It don't matter. The guy that invited us got money. He's paying for everything. We it's ours. We gone. We all get to do is show up. It's ours. But when it comes to God, you want to act like God's got to prove it to you 7 Sundays and twice on Friday, you know? It's just, we shouldn't treat God worse than we treat mankind. Somebody say amen. Amen. God said it's mine. I have it now. Let me give you a few verses of scripture. We'll narrow it down. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we also know that we have or already have received, we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. When I pray, I know I've got it. Right then. That's when you know. In fact, I've heard it taught like this, and this is very, very true in life. You really ought not pray about a thing till you have the faith for it. Because all you do then is just compound your faith and compound your doubt. Why are you going to pray for something that you don't know you're going to receive? Back up until you get the faith, and you know it's yours. Invest yourself in the Word of God. Faith come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Do that, and then come to your prayer closet or come to make that prayer and that petition where you can stand on grounds of faith and believe that you receive. Well, 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live in the righteousness. That's what we do when we get born again. By whose stripes you were healed. My, even under the old covenant in Isaiah 53, prophet Isaiah said we are healed before Christ came to the cross. He didn't say we're going to be. He said we are looking forward to the cross. We are. But now we're looking back at the cross, and we don't say we are anymore or we're going to be. We say we were healed. Where were you healed at? At the cross. At the cross. That's where He bore the stripes on His back. There. That's where He paid for our price of redemption. It was there. Everything that I have need of in my life, God does not have to come down and do it for me today. It happened 2,000 years ago already. I'm not praying trying to get God to do something for me. I'm praying in my heart and life to get Leon to receive what God's already done for me. And that's where we're at in life. If you're still hoping God's going to leave His pearly gates and come down from heaven and do something wonderful for you, He's already done that. He's already done that for you 2,000 years. You were healed. Everybody say, I were healed. Say this, I were healed. Say this, say, body, you were healed. Well, if I were healed, then I am. Right? And so I'm going to say that to myself. And my body will just have to come around to it. And it does. It does. It does. It does. It does. That's a wonderful thing about being, you know, past your 20s. You've had some experience along those lines that you can say things like that. Well, I've always could have said them, but it don't matter if I say it or not. It's based on what the Word of God says. That's it. But now I do have that reality in my life that the age that I am, I can look back and see it time and time again where God has done exactly what he said he would do. And he'll do it for you, he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anybody that stands on the word of God. Somebody say amen. He will, he will, he will. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath, which is a past tense word, past tense, his divine power has already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Somebody say, I have everything I need. Everything I need, I have it and I have it now. Not waiting to get it, I have it now. And notice he says, pertaining to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. That by these, this is how you get it, that by these you might become a partaker of the divine nature. What have you done? You have escaped, past tense, the corruption that is in the world through lust. We don't have to live like a corrupt world anymore. We've escaped out of that. When you look at the world that we live in, this world's absolutely gone crazy and gone nuts. They're the crazy ones. It's not you. It's not me. We have escaped their craziness. We've escaped them being out of their mind. We have found our right mind in Christ Jesus. It's not us that's went insane. They're the nuts. Somebody say amen. They are. I feel like I want to go home and get some of those nuts, some of those oak trees around my house and pack them up and take them to the world so they have something to eat. That's what they eat it, and they eat nuts. Well, you know, that's it. It's already granted. It's already granted unto us. What the Lord has promised unto us is already granted. Look at the last thing we'll look at, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus answered and said, here he is talking again. If anything around here online in the house, well, I don't think so, but if anybody says, oh, that pastor gone nuts, gone crazy, well, just read the verses I mentioned to you. And Jesus is the one said it. And, you know, see what he said. If I said what he said, believe it. If I didn't, then don't believe it at all. Don't believe it at all. But the Bible says in Matthew 21, verse 21, and Jesus answered and said, we're back to Jesus' words again. Verily, or truly, I say unto you. And when I see him say, I say unto you, I say, Lord, you're talking to me. If you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree when he cursed the fig tree and it dried up and died, but also if you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. See that? It doesn't say all things whatsoever you ask in prayer you get. It doesn't say everything you ask in prayer you get. It says all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now recognize once again, what is believing and biblical belief and biblical faith? It's always based on the word of God. And so you're never, ever, ever, ever going to have God's faith on anything that you don't have the word of God for. The faith is always based on the word of God. So that all this stuff when people come up and say, well, what if I just prayed for this or prayed for that and I want 14 wives and all this kind of stuff? No, you're not praying for 14 wives. You're praying for a death sentence. But anyway, people come and say things like that. No. Where in the Bible does it say that you can pray for 14 wives? I mean, it don't give you that promise. And Paul said, whoever prays for 14 wives will get at least 12 of them. No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. You find scripture that says it. Then you have biblical faith. And I've got something I stand on. That's why healing is so easy, because I know what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know what he did for you on the cross. You know what happened on the cross. And so that's one of the easiest things to receive in your life is healing in your life. It's not hard because the Lord's done it all. We just believe on what he's done, and it becomes reality in our lives. And so that's what he said. All things what should last in prayer, believe and receive. But notice the key, verse 21. Have faith and doubt not. Your biggest enemy should become doubt. If you want to get anything out of your life, it should be doubt. If there's anything that needs to be kicked out of your heart, your mind, and your spirit, it should be doubt. Because doubt will rob you of everything God wants you to have. It won't be because God doesn't want you to have it, because he does. It won't be because God didn't promise it to you, because he did. It won't be because God didn't love you, because he does love you. It'll be because you doubt it. I learned a long time ago, I cannot tolerate, and you can't either, we cannot tolerate doubt in our lives. That's why some ministers I've known and I've met and I've loved. I'm famous ministers, good personalities, some of them. I met and I don't love them. Some I don't listen to. Because they preach doubt into my life. And I can't have doubt in my life and be healthy. I can't have doubt in my life and be financially prosperous. I can't have doubt in my life and be, you know, not married to my wife and not in love with her. I got to have faith. I'm walking in love. I can't have doubt in my life to take those things away. And doubt should be your biggest enemy that you fight against. And what is doubt? The root word for doubt here is to separate or withdraw or oppose. In other words, it says here, if you have faith and doubt not, or you separate yourself from faith not, or you oppose not faith, or you withdraw not from faith, if you do that and doubt not, don't walk in that area that you're at. You shall not only do this within the fig tree, but you also say unto your mountains. So whatever mountains you got, they'll move. Not an issue, not a problem with God. He moves them every day. Not an issue at all. But you got to stay out of doubt. Stand with me on your feet today. Let's go before the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for his goodness, grace, and mercy. And let's just make a prayer confession before the Lord. If you could walk out of here today and say, I'll never doubt again. I'll never be moved by what I see, what I hear, what I feel, what I taste, what I touch. And just refuse to doubt the goodness and grace of God in your life. And just refuse to doubt God's wonderful love that he has for you. And his wonderful promises are always true. If you can do that, you're going to take major, major steps forward in your faith walk with Almighty God. Get rid of the doubt. Lift your hands toward heaven. Let's pray. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Look throughout my heart and my life. Anything you find there, not like Jesus, take it away. Wash it with your blood and cleanse me of all sin. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Therefore, I am saved and I'm your child. And as a child, I would never question your word. I would never doubt what you say. So in the name of Jesus, I am a believer, I am not a doubter, and I stand upon the word of God in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.